Welcome to another episode of Beyond Sermons, where we see Jesus Christ beyond the pulpit. We're going to continue the discussion on eternal security, but from a slightly different perspective. There's a Calvinistic perspective on the question of, can a person lose their salvation? And the Calvinist typically believes that no, you cannot lose salvation. And the whole notion of once saved, always saved, it was something that I was exposed to later in life. So to help us explore this perspective a little bit more will be Jeff Laird.
Hey, Jeff. I can't begin to tell your full life story or even how you're active in the ministry. Could you please share with the listeners, your ministry work?
Sure, absolutely. Right now, I'm an associate editor with Got Questions Ministries. That's with gotquestions.org is our main thrust. It's our main website. And what we're doing there is we're answering people's questions about subjects like this. What does the Bible say about this subject or that subject? What do I do with this topic or that? I've been doing that with the ministry since 2004. Full-time for the last 5 or 6 years, I was a mechanical engineer before that. So I came out of a very practical, take things apart and put it back together sort of a mindset, and just grew into the ministry aspects of seeking answers to these different things in faith. And my personal faith journey of needing to say, does what I believe make sense? Am I on the right track? Where am I right? Where am I wrong? That led me to very much this style of ministry where we're seeking to give people practical answers to the questions. So that's pretty much what I do, is I spend all day long reading the Bible and trying to interpret it and apply it for people who don't necessarily have that level of time to devote to it.
Wow. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much, because you are absolutely perfect for this podcast, because we have a bunch of questions for you.
Cool.
So let's dive into it.
Sure, absolutely.
There is one big question that eternal security addresses, and that's the question, can someone lose their salvation? Can a Christian lose their salvation? How about we start off with yes, no, other? What would you say?
I would say that actually the first thing we got to do is we have to define exactly what we mean when we say a Christian. So without like diving down too deep of a rabbit hole, I would say that a Christian in this context is somebody who has that submissive, repentant faith in Jesus Christ. Okay. In other words, this is a person who is truly repented and been born again.
Now, we will ask some questions that will allow you to expand on your definition of Christianity.
Great.
But for those who are looking for a quick answer.
Absolutely.
Would you say yes, no, or both?
No.
Okay. So no. Okay, great. Well, I mean, let's explore that for sure.
Sure.
Yeah. So at this point in time, let's talk about, what is eternal security?
I would say that eternal security, when it's understood the right way, just means that when a person has a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that relationship, once it begins, is going to last for your entire life and all the way into eternity. In other words, it's the belief that once Christ saves you, that you will always be saved. This isn't something that Jesus is going to revoke. This isn't something that you're going to be able to walk away from. This isn't something that he's going to negate if you don't follow a certain list of rules and regulations and so on and so forth. In other words, this is a one and done. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't come with appropriate understanding. It doesn't mean that we get to define what salvation means for ourselves. It just means that once you've reached that point, when you are saved, that salvation cannot be taken, cannot be lost.
Gotcha. Now, the thing that you were talking about earlier was, what is a Christian? How about you kind of define that a little bit more detailed now?
Yeah, sometimes people will get nervous when you start saying things like, I want to define what a Christian is. And a lot of people get into the weeds on that. They start talking about, you know, what kind of clothes do you wear to church and what kind of music do you listen to and those sorts of things. And that stuff is all ultimately secondary. That's not the kind of thing we mean when we say, what is a Christian? In this case, we're talking about, you know, what does it mean to actually be born again? So when it comes to eternal security, a Christian is a person who has a saving relationship with Jesus. It's not somebody who is a fan of faith, not somebody who's interested in spiritual things. It's not even somebody who loves Jesus and does a bunch of good things. An actual Christian is somebody who has put their faith entirely in Jesus Christ to save them from their sin so that they can not only be made new right now, but they can spend eternity with him in heaven. So that type of definition, that is a Christian. Everything that comes after that is very personal, and some of those things are just up to opinion. But that's the core definition that really matters when we talk about things like eternal security.
Gotcha. So my follow-up question would be then, how does eternal security recognize the free will?
That is a very good question, as far as what that means. And I think it's important for people to remember that free will does not mean that every decision you make will be reversible. So for example, I can freely choose to hold my hand up against a metal bar. Now that choice doesn't come with any consequences, and I can let go whenever I want. I can freely choose to hold my hand up against a hot metal bar and let go when it hurts. Now there's some minor consequences to that. I'll have some burns. Maybe I'll get over that. Maybe I won't. I can choose to grab onto a running chainsaw. Now, once I've done that, I'm going to wind up with some irreversible results. There's things that are going to happen to my hand that I can't change after the fact. Now, that doesn't mean that I've lost my free will. It just means that I've made a decision that has permanent consequences. If I choose to have an arm or a leg amputated, it's the same thing. I have all of the same faculties and all the same free will, but there is a permanent impact and effect to one of my free will choices. So when it comes to something like salvation, if we want to talk about it in terms of free will, you can still discuss this as a person making a freely willed choice to be saved. And yet that choice, once it's made, is permanent. It can't be undone. It can't be reversed, not because you've lost your free will, but because it's one of those irreversible choices.
Got you. So in other words, you're talking about, if I were to summarize, that a true Christian would not choose to lose their salvation or to perhaps give it up?
I think it's that when we talk about being born again, we talk about being made new. That implies that the person has a certain relationship with Christ, and that reshapes and remolds your will to a certain extent. In other words, you've entered into a relationship and you've changed yourself in such a way that once that decision is made, it's made. It would be like the difference between saying, you know, amputating an arm versus just putting a tourniquet around it so it gets numb.
Gotcha.
You know, there is a difference between just kind of getting in that direction, being involved, versus actually making the step to enter into that status.
Gotcha. All right. So let's jump a little bit forward into the book of Revelations. Specifically Revelations 3 verse 5. There's a mention of being blotted or from the book of life. Yeah. What does it mean when a name is blotted from the book of life?
I think we got to remember that when we read something like that, we know that it's symbolic. I mean, we recognize that there isn't some literal physical ink and paper book somewhere. You know, God's not literally calling up the Bic company to get pens so that he can write people's names down and do this. And I think that influences the way that we interpret something like that. I think that imagery is meant to be symbolic of the permanence that's involved and the record keeping that's involved. There's a lot of themes in scripture that involve things like record and memory and knowledge and understanding. And so when somebody's name is blotted out from the book of life, it's a reference to the fact that the God who knows everything and keeps track of everything is making a conscious decision, an official formal judgment on somebody and what's happening there. I think you can also look at that sometimes through the lens of, again, not to get off on that tangent, but what we'd call the age of accountability, which is the idea that in theory, you could argue that a person is covered under God's grace until the point that they're capable of making a decision as to whether or not they're going to follow Christ or not follow Christ.
Okay.
And in a sense, a person would argue, not necessarily that I'm endorsing every aspect of that, but when it comes to the book of life, a person could say that a person's name is written there and that when they reach that age and make that decision, that that's when their name is going to be removed if they're deciding that they're going to reject Jesus.
I did a little bit of research on this, and as a follow-up question, unplanned, by the way.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Old Testament talk about the book of life, too? Is that imagery as well? If so?
It does. Moses has a conversation with God where he talks about that. You know, just blot me out of the book of life. You know, I can't stand this. Just do that. And I think it's the similar symbolism. It's the idea of it being this truly permanent thing. When you read the Old Testament, for example, you hear a lot of discussion of bones. And one of the reasons that they talk so much about bones is that bones is the one thing about your body that survives the longest. So
yeah,
that's like the core of who you are in Hebrew thinking is the bones. You know, that's the thing that's remembered. That's why Joseph said, when you guys leave Egypt someday, take my bones with you. You know, and I think it's similar to the whole book of life. It's the idea of this permanence and this remembrance. And so when somebody like Moses says, blot me out of the book of life, he's sort of extending that into the spiritual realm and saying, I want my entire spiritual existence to just be removed from your presence. I don't even want you to remember me.
Now, this is an extension from, I guess, the earth to an eternal God. But
yeah,
wouldn't the book of life also be a link from an eternal God to a temporal being?
It's not a bad way to think of it. Yeah. I mean, God has to try to communicate with us in ways we understand. And that's one of the reasons that we see, you know, symbolisms and things like that. So I think that's a good way to think of it, is it's a way of God sort of giving us a close enough analogy for us to understand without trying to make it so complicated that it just blows our minds.
Got you. Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. We're going to do another shift.
Sure.
Does eternal security encourage self-righteousness?
Does it encourage self-righteousness? I think, again, we talked about definitions. So I think properly understood, I don't think that it encourages self-righteousness, because a person who has that submissive, saving relationship with Jesus knows exactly who they are and what they are. They understand that they're being covered by grace, that they have a sin debt that Christ has paid on their behalf. And I think a person who truly understands what their sin is and what their sin is like is not liable. I shouldn't say liable. That person doesn't legitimately move into self-righteousness. We're all capable of it. We can sin. We can do things that we shouldn't do. But I don't think eternal security encourages self-righteousness when it's understood the right way. I think when people get into trouble is when they start moving into the extremes. You'll hear people, I'm sure, in your conversations with others talk about something called easy believism or even cheap grace, which is the idea that a person believes that they can say a quick prayer, get saved, and then it doesn't matter what they do, how they live from that point forward, which is very much an oversimplification of it. So I don't think that if you understand what eternal security really is and what salvation really is, that you're going to be prone to living that lifestyle. I think it's the other way around. I think it's that a person who lives that lifestyle demonstrates that they don't have a legitimate understanding of salvation. Otherwise, they wouldn't say, do, act that way.
Okay. You know what? I just came up with another follow-up question.
Yeah.
What about somebody, you know, who grew up in the church, always heard about God, and then they make a decision to follow Christ? Let's say they were never an alcoholic. They were never, you know, they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal savior.
Yeah.
As a youth, 8, 9,
right.
10, 11, 12, who knows, before they really experienced the perils of this world.
Yeah.
What does eternal security look like for them? And do you see them potentially struggling with self-righteousness?
I think anybody can struggle with self-righteousness, but I do think that it comes down to that question of what does that say about a person's understanding of their faith? You know, one of the things that
I'm sorry,
comes
if
up
I can
sometimes,
interject, how about we assume they have a childlike faith? childlike faith, meaning that they're young in the faith, but also faith of a child, where it's just they could take a leap and know that God will rescue them. There's that duality.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I try to be careful to say it's not that if a person becomes self-righteous, that that person cannot be saved. I just think that if a person who gets into that phase that's a sign of either spiritual ignorance or spiritual immaturity. And I think that's where the extremes start to take over. You can have a person who's a sinner, who struggles with some sin, self-righteousness as an example, who can have a legitimate relationship with Christ. It's just something that they're dealing with and they're struggling with. Now, if a person is just blatantly, hatefully, ignorantly holier than thou towards everybody all the time, that's different than somebody who's making a sincere effort, but has maybe an immature or a stunted understanding.
This concludes another episode of Beyond Sermons, where we seek Jesus Christ beyond the pulpit. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support, please visit beyondsermons.com to rate and subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. God bless, and be blessed to be a blessing.